الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We mentioned that when a person makes dua, if he reads the fourth kalima first and then the third kalima, duas are readily accepted. That is, when a person wakes up at night, if we wake up from our sleep at night any time, then at that time that a person reads first the fourth kalima and then the third kalima, and then he makes some duas, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained so well also, that when we wake up at night, it's not because a dog was barking or his gate slammed or something, but as Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when the bed bugs used to bite, then this is the alarm clock to wake you up. That Allah says, I'm thinking of you, you're sleeping. Get up, make some du'as. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says it so beautifully, explains it, that if you are too lazy to go and make wudu, two rakats of namaz, then at least just sit up in your bed. And then your begging bowl, Allah has given it to you with you, it's with you all the time. Just put your two palms together, is your begging bowl. And we are continuous beggars by Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyuhannas antumul fuqara ila Allah. O mankind, all of you together, you are beggars by Allah Ta'ala. So a beggar also needs his begging bowl. So Allah gave it to us by just putting our two hands together. The professional beggar, so to say, he begs from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock, whatever his times are, and then he comes, counts his money and puts his bowl away one side. But this beggar is a 24-hour beggar. And we are beggars of Allah Ta'ala. And ya ayyuhannas, all of you together, everyone, and if we can understand this, our whole life will come right. That we are slaves of Allah. And a slave is that person that who he doesn't own anything. He does nothing for himself. He's earning, if he earns also, it is for his master that he earns. He has to give it over to the master to understand somewhat. In our times, we've got a washing machine. It's like the slave to do our washing. The washing machine does absolutely nothing for itself. Everything it does for the people who operate it, the same way the dishwasher, the stove, everything. So slavery is not an Islamic thing. It was there already before. In fact, Islam has worked in such a beautiful way to finish off slavery, that you, for this, give so many slaves. You set a slave free, so lot sawabs. For this guna, set so many slaves free. So in this way, the slaves are set free. But in any way, and slavery, even in a Muslim society, long ago it was abolished. Whereas till a recent number, about perhaps a few hundred years ago, slaves, black slaves were taken from Africa to America, and they were used as slaves there. So anyway, a slave is one who owns and does nothing for himself. So in that sense, if we can understand, we are total slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And also, again, the talk is going a little in a different direction, but anyway, hopefully it will be beneficial also, that if we can get this and understand this and make all our youngsters especially, and people who are especially associated and get associated with the modern world, Western world, secular world, especially the secular world, there where we feel we have got rights. And we must fight for our rights. Who am I? First of all, the Quran Sharif says, هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Does not man think of that time when he was absolutely nothing, not even spoken about? So that is what we were, that we were not even spoken about. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brought us into existence from non-existence. And Allah gave us our form. If a child is deformed, Allah protect us all. We ask afiyat from Allah Ta'ala. But that we have everything perfect, or my children all must be perfect, it's not our right. It is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever we take it, that it is our right, that everything, my eyes must be perfect, my tongue, my heart, everything, and the limbs of the body, but if these are all gifts, if we can accept it and understand reality, that these are gifts from Allah Ta'ala. And what part did I play in the making of my brain? Did I pay for it? Did I design it? Did I go to some contractor to make my brains or anything? Absolutely nothing. It is all just a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And the whole human body, how it is made. And if we think the formation of the body, how Allah Ta'ala makes it, this is all, it is beyond all of man put together. It is solely the gift. So when we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, so we have to just work for Allah Ta'ala. And that is why ibadah, that وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has created us solely for His servitude, for His ibadah, for fulfilling His commandment. We really, in our ibadah, in anything, we don't have the right of any enjoyment. We must just be serving Allah Ta'ala. So if we can understand that, then almost everything else will be sorted out for us, where we feel that my rights, and I must fight for my rights, etc. Allah has given us rights. Everyone has got rights. But just that we forget that we have to fulfill the rights of other people, and mostly that we forget we have to fulfill the rights of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So anyway, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when a person wakes up at night, it is Allah is waking you. My Banda, I am thinking of you. I want to give you and you are sleeping. Wake up and take from me. And if we haven't got the courage to can make wudu, 2-4 rakats of tahajjud namaz, sit and on the musalla and make dua to Allah Ta'ala, then at least just in bed. And if we don't want to sit up also, then just lying down, make some duas. And then usually sleep comes again and you fall asleep. But make a few duas at that time. And Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala's office hours are 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Our government offices or other businesses, etc., 9 to 4 or something. But Allah's office hours, so to say, is 24 hours. And the best office hours are like the middle of the night. When here in the world you go to any office, they are all closed. Allah's office hours, the best, so to any time, Allah Ta'ala's office hours are open. And Allah Ta'ala hasn't kept any secretary to tell you that the boss is gone out or the boss is in a meeting. Allah Himself, so to say, will take your call. And you just lift up your hands and your connection is made with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. By Allah Ta'ala, there is no pre-recorded message on the phone that for English press 1, for Afrikaans press 2, or anything. No, the minute you will start speaking, and if you're a dumb person also, Allah will hear you what you have got to say. And the whole world together at one time can phone to Allah Ta'ala. You'll never find the phone engaged. Or any pre-recorded message or anything. Allah will respond to you. And personally Allah will answer you. And you can make your request. And even if you're a deaf person and you are busy speaking to Allah, you will hear Allah is speaking to you. And it will come right in your heart. So this dua, when such occasions come, then read the fourth kalima first, read the third kalima, and then make duas. Make dua and comprehensive duas for the whole ummah, for our deen, dunya, akhirat. There are so many things that we have to ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq, and inshallah, sometimes if Allah gives tawfiq, we'll speak on dua also, which is a very great ni'mat of Allah, a very great weapon Allah has given us. Dua is a very great, and everyone has been given dua. And you can make any time. Even if you are in a state of janabat, you can make dua. Even wherever you are, you can make dua. People have made duas when unfortunately they were caught in wrong places. But they made dua there, that dua transferred them to the right places forever. So dua at any place, even the wrong place, the wrong time, there is no wrong time, but any time, Allah is there to listen. And Allah is that kind being that listens to everyone. So Allah give us tawfiq inshallah to make duas and keep these points also in mind. With regard to namaz, we did speak in between, regularly the talk comes, but it is such an important thing that if we can all get together and work on it, it is such a gift from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and if we can appreciate it really, what this namaz is. Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Ji, very often would you say that, come, let us all get together and make such an effort that at least one command of Allah becomes 100% alive in the ummah. Allah give us tawfiq, according to people who quote statistics, not exact statistics, but what they gauge, that about 90% of the ummah is not even making namaz. And then those that make the remainder 10% are those who perhaps only make Jummah. And then again, there are others again who make only perhaps Maghrib or one, two other namazes, others just casually, others who don't make with Jamaat. So the namaz is a very weak, we are very weak as far as our namaz is concerned. But in spite of this that we are so weak, but namaz is still, Allahu Akbar, Allah has given us such a system in our deen, and what a, all men could together and try and draft out a system like this, it wouldn't work. In Iran also, for example, the Sunnis, the Muslims, their masjids are occupied. People are going. The Shias, they have three namazes. And that also, namaz is not important to them. It's not an important institution. So they also get a lot worked up that these Muslims, that they are, for them, the masjid get full. Then we have, for example, your normal namaz you make in your local masjid. Your Jummah, you go to Jummah masjid. And for Eid, you go to the Eidgah. Though the Muslims in South Africa, about 2%, say 4%, perhaps you can put it to 5%. But on Eid's day, when all are going to Eidgah, it looks that there are only Muslims here. And this has such an effect on the non-Muslims, that the way they are going on Jummah day, the way it looks, the masjids are full, that here only Muslims living here, there is no one else living here. But if the fact is, we are such a small, and then too, in that small percentage, we are not, we are very weak in our namazes. Even just the count is very, the quality is a thing very far away. The count also, we are so weak, but yet the system of Islam is that it appears that people are just making namaz all the time. In fact, some people say, especially non-Muslims, that you Muslims, you only pray whole day. All the time you are, but we know, alhamdulillah, all other work carries on also. Incidentally, one person asked Haji Maulana Makki Sahib in Makkah Sharif, he has dars there. So people, when you come for Hajj, you have got more a holy, a pious attitude. So they asked him a question that it is permissible, like if you with your wife, you have relationships with your wife in Makkah Sharif, pure park place. So he asked all these people of Makkah, from where do they come? If relations are not permissible, then where? So we have that attitude like of that pi that we only make namaz, no time for anything else, but everything. And in fact, the true namaz is the number of children they have. They always supersede all the others also. So anyway, so Allah has given us the system. So Hazrat Ji said, let us make an effort that namaz becomes alive 100% in the ummah. And if we can reach there, and namaz is the most important farz after iman, it is namaz. Namaz is that farz that Allah Ta'ala did not give it on this earth, make it farz, but Allah called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and took him for Mi'raj. And Allah personally gave namaz to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah gave 50 namazes. And then in Mi'raj incident, the whole thing comes, how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, and it became less. But finally Allah Ta'ala says, مَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ لَدَيَّ, that what I have said, 50, my reward will still remain 50. You'll make 5, but you'll get the reward of 50. And if we have to calculate, if we have to make 50 namazes a day, again, then understand, we were the slaves of Allah. We just had to worship Allah Ta'ala. So if we had to make 50, 24 hours should have been just in namaz all the time. But Allah made it 5 namazes, but still the reward of 50. How kind is not Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala? So namaz is a very, very great ibadah and a great gift from Allah. More than it is a duty, it is a farz upon us. And we have to fulfill it, but it is a great gift. Namaz is that our rozi becomes easy. Our hisab kitab becomes easy. Allah's protection, the person who makes his fajr namaz, is in the protection of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. All so many promises for namaz. So we just look after our namazes. How much won't Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala give us? On one occasion, in the Markaz Nizamuddin, in the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, they were having meals. And there the system, I don't know now, but even when we were there, then water like, it's not put on the table in a jug. That when you want, you take your water, you pour it, or you ask somebody to give it. But the person walks around with the water. And anyone wants, he just makes him a sign, and then he gives him the water. So this person who was serving this water, the glass fell from his hand. So Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali looked up at him and told him, looks like your namaz is still not correct. In other words, if your namaz was correct, this glass should not have fallen. From which we understand that if we got namaz in our lives and namaz is correct, then our whole life will come. If namaz is correct, our whole deen will become correct. If our deen is correct, our dunya will become correct. Our akhirat will also be made. So if we can, Allah put it in my heart, all of us, du'as also regularly, and this effort that namaz 100% must come alive in my life. First we start with ourselves, my family, and Allahu Akbar. We have to make the effort. Result is in the hands of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah, or one of our buzurgs, the children, grown-up people, they were not so much in deen. So people asked Dr. Saab if it was him, and he said that my example is in front of them. I tell them, then I've done my duty. Further, now it is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, but we must make this effort for the whole ummah. We make dua that we all become 100% in namazis, and for ourselves also, and proper what is called a namazi. Namazi is that person, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, you are in the masjid and Allah is seeing to all your work outside the masjid. You are in namaz and Allah sees to all your work outside. So if we can bring namaz alive in our lives properly and with all the everything, and this is a mission, we make it a maqsad of our lives. We speak to Allah Ta'ala and we tell Him, Ya Allah, my purpose of life, my object of life is to be a namazi. And that namaz must come perfectly and 100% alive in my life. And I must become a proper namazi in every way. And namaz is that great ibadah that if we correct it, then our whole lives will become correct. We quoted this example a few times. Again, we will repeat it, that once a year there was a nikah, and I had to give a talk. So in that talk, I said that if a person in namaz keeps his eyes in the right places when standing, and think whether we are doing that, whether our eyes are in the right places. Many of us, till our eyes wander around quite a bit in namaz. And make an effort. For all these things, make an effort. If when we are standing at the place of sajda, our eyes should be there. When we go in ruku, on our feet, the toes. And when we are in a sitting position, in the lap. And when we are making sajda, then we can't see the nose, but we must focus the eyes on the tip. And the eyes must not close. Even in namaz, many times we close our eyes. The eyes must remain open. and they must focus on the tip of the nose. And when we make salam, then on the shoulders. And make the niyat of kiram and katibin for every namaz of ours. They are there. And if we make the salam to somebody, even a little child, you make salam, but you don't give him attention. You gave your hands and you are talking with somebody else. The child will also feel offended. Yeah, kiram and katibin are here. And we don't even make the intention. We all can think, we just finish our asr namaz now. Hopefully our memories are not that short that in now, asr when we made salam, did we make niyat for kiram and katibin? In that, it was jamaat namaz, did we make for all on the right, on the left? And did we make the niyat of the imam? The imam. And there are jinnat also. And there are malaika also. Did we make niyat for them? So we should be making niyat for them. And when we make salam also, then our eyes must be focused here on the shoulders. Many times we in fact come a little bit forward and we make salam, as though we want to see who is here. Right? And this is a thing like, for example, you're driving a car, and you want to overtake, and your space is a bit narrow. There's another car coming from whatever, something, and now, then sometimes, as a driver, now you go forward. You don't have to go forward. It's not going to make your car go more front. You must sit in your seat, and you must see that you're coming. Also, that when we are driving, and when we are turning, then many times we also, we don't have to turn. You just turn the steering this way or that way. We mustn't return ourselves. So namaz also, in our position, it should not change. It should be just there where we are. When we're making salam also, don't come a bit forward. Don't move the shoulder a bit in front or anything. Everything must be on its place, and we make our salam. So this we discussed, and after about 2 months, a good friend, he phoned and he told that I had this great weakness of looking around at other women, and I'm a married man, and he, mashallah, pious, but weakness is in a person, it's in a person, and he felt very guilty and very bad about it. He was sincere, really sincere, and on his own he thought of the solution. He made a second nikah, that now my eyes will be under control, but he said it was still the same again. And really, the solution, were like many young boys also come, we want to get married, our lust desire is very strong, and nikah is a solution, but it is not the complete solution. Because how many married people are doing wrong things? If nikah was the real complete solution, so it is to acquire taqwa. And in taqwa also, higher than that is the love of Allah. Because this when this fire of lust hits a person, nothing makes sense to that person. Then only if a person has got that love of Allah, that can stop him at that time. And with how many young people, they have this problem, masturbation, etc. And when their desire comes, then they just like go mad. Nothing can control. But if we work on taqwa, we work on the love of Allah Ta'ala, then Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam, a young person, and with who? With Zulaikha. And we see, she was a very beautiful woman. She is the queen, the minister's wife, and every facility is at his opportunity. But it was, and that Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that he did not want to commit that guna, and not one bit did his inclination go toward, not a thought, not, it was impossible, it was right out of the question. And in fact, he says, the jail is better for me. Instead of committing the guna, I prefer jail. I'm going to jail at any time, anywhere in the world. It's not a nice place whatsoever. It's a terrible place. But instead of committing the guna, he says, I prefer living in the jail, going to jail. So this is that when that love of Allah comes to that extent, and the taqwa comes, so that is what we have to work for. So Allah tabarakul. So the outward postures of namaz, and this looking at these places, is a mustahab of namaz, a sunnah of namaz. It's not the faraz of namaz. And if that yields such results, then if namaz comes right in a person's life, how much won't it bring goodness into our lives? And so we have to work and determine in our mind that we have to work on namaz. As in this ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. that namaz is that that will stop you, that will keep you away, stop you from fahsha and munkar. All types of munkar also, gunas also. Fahsha, lewd, gunas that are associated with sex and lust and desire. All that guna, namaz will save you. So it is for us to make our namaz. For us to make directly, we have to make effort also that we save ourselves from all gunas. But it is not that easy. But if we will make effort on namaz, then gunas, we won't have to give up gunas. Gunas will leave us. Like now, yeah, in South Africa at the moment, autumn season, so we're going into winter. So the leaves of the trees are falling. And they are falling so much, your back will break picking up the leaves. But they don't get, they're just coming down all the time. And so you don't have to shake the branches to get the leaves to fall down. The leaves are falling themselves. We make effort on namaz and gunas. We won't have to make effort to leave gunas. Gunas will leave us. They will just fall away. Gunas will just fall away if we make effort to make our namaz is correct. So namaz is a very great gift of Allah, which Allah has given, and Allah gave it where? Right at the arsh of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah made five times namaz faran. Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Sahib, Balanshahri, rahmatullah alayhi, writes that on this occasion, Allah gave two more gifts also. One was the last three ayats, or the last ayats of Surah Baqarah. On this occasion, Allah gave it also. And one sahabi or one great person says that I haven't met a single intelligent person who does not read the last ayats of Surah Baqarah before going to sleep. The value of it is so great. And if we can read the 10 ayats of Surah Baqarah, that is from Al-Ham Sharif till Muflihun, and Ayatul Kursi till the Ruku, and Lillahi Ma'afis Samawa till the end, till the Ruku, the end, blow on ourselves, blow on water, blow on everyone. What a great gift. We go to people to blow on the water, alhamdulillah, no problem with that, but we can do it ourselves. How lot we can read. And whenever we have this water, somebody tells us to blow on it, then ask everyone sitting there, small children, everyone, read Bismillah and blow. Read Surah Fatiha and blow. These things have got great, great power. And in that also, you won't feel that I'm a very big, buzur, pious person and I'm blowing. Ask everyone to blow. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So this namaz and preparation of namaz also, then accordingly, if Allah puts it in our heart, it's not just a matter of speaking. Many times we speak, but it is for other people. When Maulana gave a bayan, and on spending in the path of Allah, feeding the poor, needy, etc. So when he came home, his wife was also listening to the bayan, so she had a big pot on the stove. So he asked, what's this now? So he said, she said, I heard you say, lot of sawab, we're cooking all the soup and that, we're going to give to the poor. He said, no, that's for other people to give us, not for us that we must give others. So if we give our bayan and we think it's for other people, or we who are listening also, we think, yeah, that person doesn't make namaz, that person doesn't make. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangoi Rahmatullah, our Ustad of Bukhari Sharif Jilsani, when the hadith came that the signs of a munafiq are three. When he talks, he lies, etc. When he disputes, he starts you becoming vulgar, etc. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said before that, anyone who thinks of somebody else now, sitting in Bukhari Dars, he'll be in another few months, he'll be qualified as an alim, but he has destroyed himself. If he's thinking that this is in somebody else, and if he thinks, I must check myself, have these bad qualities are in me. And at the beginning, in the work of Tabligh and Dawat, the kitabs which we have now were not there. Afterwards, Hazrat Manam Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali instructed Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith to write these kitabs. For ulama at that time, the kitab to be read was Mishkat Sharif. But the method of reading it was, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib was amongst those people at that time, they were engaged in the Jamaat work, that they would read one hadith, if there are five, six ulama sitting in the ta'aleem, everyone will read the same hadith. And everyone must reflect on himself, is my amal on this hadith or not? So that was how it was read, whether my amal is on this hadith or not. Not how today the ustad gives a long taqreer, etc., and everything is finished, mashallah. This is a great, great service also. But that was the ta'lim, was in that way, that is my amal. So Allah give us all tawfiq, and we must repeat speaking about it. Repeat it by the wife, repeat it by the children also, and still our amal comes on it. And we have to keep on repeating it. Our Surah Fatiha, oft repeated surah, it is called Sab'i Masani, which is repeated. Our namazes, we read the same 5 times namaz every day. No new namazes come in between. So our Quran Sharif is the same Quran Sharif, same 30 suparas we read all the time. So this also we have to keep on revising our lesson. So with regard to namaz, a few points that we should also consider is start from the beginning. The Adhan, when it is called, we should reply to the Adhan, and that also is gone very, very weak in us. In fact, one person who is more inclined towards the Barilvi school of thought, mashallah, he comes now regularly for Etikaf also. So the first time he came, he said everything, it was very nice, everything. But he said, one thing I noticed, that Adhan time, no respect of Adhan. And there are many things that other people, we can call them Barelvis, we can call them other things. But Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali said, there we tell them that with regard to, especially Aqidah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they make ghulu, they go over the limit, sometimes completely wrong Aqidah. But he said, look at their nisbat. It is a nisbat of muhabbat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is no small nisbat, muhabbat of Rasul. They went overboard. But the nisbat of muhabbat is a very, very great thing. So great thing. So consider that, what a great thing it is, that muhabbat. So for Adhan also, and on that, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Saab, Damat Barakatum, quotes this incident from time to time, that there was a lady in Bombay, and she passed away, her time came, but before she passed away, she started speaking Arabic. She wasn't a woman like that at all that would know Arabic. So they called the imam from the masjid. He came and she was speaking pure and with grammar. Perfect. Hadane, Rajulane, Yakulane, Li, properly. And they are telling me these two men that could enter into Jannah. So she passed away. The imam asked, what kind of a woman was she? They said, you know and we know. She was a woman who used to sell herself. Very bad she was. Down and out, a woman of that nature. So he says, but now she is reading us. They said one habit she had whenever Adhan would go, she would tell everyone, shh, shh, keep quiet. Adhan is going. So that respect of Adhan, and by Allah, Allah comes to love one thing. And Hazrat Shaykh Jazawmullah Khair, all our mashayikh, all our elders, Hazrat has said that we read sometimes in the hadith that this one action and that person got forgiven. So we can't sit with that itminan, that inshallah we all have done something like that. It depends on Allah. When Allah just he loves that action, he loves it. And then he just forgives. And there's no one to ask Allah Ta'ala. Allah is not bound by any constitution. Allah is not bound by any laws that he has to do according to that. Allah is above everything. If he wants to, and what guarantee we got that perhaps we did something like that, we helped out somebody, we said some good word, but we don't know if Allah. So we can't just be thinking that I also did one thing, I will also be forgiven. No, Allah Ta'ala, if he wants to. But anyway, Adhan is a very great thing. And the respect of Adhan is today gone almost totally out of us. No jawab of Adhan also. And if sometimes we are in the masjid, and Adhan is also carrying on, and we are making a big noise also. At one time, there was a Hifz Quran Khatam Jalsa, and Allah reward the MC. Some time after that, I didn't know, I mentioned this, and then he said, I was that MC. When the whole Jalsa was finished, he said, for Adhan, we'll delay Adhan 5-10 minutes. because we know people have come from different places and you would like to meet one another. And it was an masjid, it was a musalla, but then too, respect is there, we have to have. You say, keep the respects also, meet one another, finish now. But when adhan goes, then no talking. Then to give jawab for adhan and give answer to the adhan. So this is a thing Allah make that it comes in us. Similarly, one person of that school of thought spent time in Jamaat, in the Markaz. Also at the end, they asked him how is everything very good. I benefited tremendously. But the same thing he said, adhan respect, we don't see it. So the respect of adhan, and we giving this impression. We, and sometimes we get caught up. You may be such a big maulana or people respect you, but there somebody comes and speaks to you at that time. Now what do you do? And if we go into further details, adhan time, don't make salam to anyone. At that time, you jawab of adhan. But we make salam freely, we answer salam also freely. Adhan is all the masail of adhan, all the masail of salam also. Allah Ta'ala make that we observe them correctly what they are. So when adhan goes, Allah give us tawfiq to respect. Then if we can, we should try, and especially as we are growing, try and finish our toilet before that also. But otherwise, usually 15 minutes is given, time now that you heard the adhan, now get engaged in preparation. If you are going to toilet, you're going to make wudu, if you're going to still be wasting time, then how are you going to make it for Takbir-e-Ula? So then we should see to our toilet. And toilet also is not a thing. In some countries they are called restrooms. And we take the literal meaning. That there is, and in some places they keep magazines also there. So it's really like a restroom, like in your lounge you are sitting. And now, toilet is not for that at all. And neither is it, from ulama's point of view also, and hakim's point of view, that is just a slap desk job, you just gone in and out again. Not that also. You must sit properly and see that everything, if you relax, then you're... Today we are so automated and so computerized that the toilet also, 1 minute, 2 minutes, your stomach hardly got the chance to adapt itself, to relieve itself. And you want to be out already. You can't go and rest there. But on the other hand, it's not a place that you're just in and out. You sit nicely for your urine to come out properly. And for your waste, your number two, to come out properly. When you are sort of relaxed nicely, then all this comes. How many people, and all, most of the diseases according to hakims are from the stomach. When our digestion is not correct. When we are having indigestion, and one of the causes of it is we don't do it properly how it's supposed to be done. We don't relieve ourselves properly. So that is also a very, very important thing, and it is part of tarbiyah. And sadly, we might have been past our life, but we still didn't learn how to go to the toilet properly. And our health starts from there. A person who gets relieved nicely, properly. And what a dua. When going in also, what a dua. Because that's the places where the shayateen abound. And by reading the dua, you're putting on your protection. And you need that protection when you are there. You are now lowering your guard. You have to lower your clothes when you go into the toilet. But take your protection, a spiritual protection, the dua. Mm-hmm. And if we're just rushing in and out, then perhaps the dua. And it will be very, very, very bad if half of the dua we are reading in the toilet. Read it outside the toilet, not at all inside the toilet. Especially if we are reading Bismillah and half of it is read in the toilet. How bad won't that be? So that also is a very important, it's a much more lengthy discussion also. And what guidelines also have been given by hakims also, and by ulama and mashayikh also. Then very important also, which also we are going generally in a wrong direction, is the high pen that we are using. We should use the flat pen, the lobe. If a person is mazur, he can't help it. That is a different thing. But when we act in such a way as though Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi Jazakumullah Khair have written, like a person from his work, Ustad or anyone or any other work, you are not sick and you take sick leave. They say then that sickness will come into you. You are not sick. You say, I got a headache today. I got a headache today. I can't come for work. Hey, and you are not sick. You haven't got. Not only headache, migraine will come. And it will come and it will persist in you. So we are inviting when we go on the high fan without reason. One good friend of ours, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, Damat Barakatu, many years ago, maybe easily 15 or even more, he went with a group of students in Jamaat. And it was the Westville Masjid, he explains in Durban. And for toilet now, Taalim time, before that, make wuzu, get ready for Taalim. So about 8-10 boys, how many there were. And there was only one high pen toilet, the rest were flat pen. All were waiting for that one pen. Now a habit is gone, and young boys know that they got some, their back is paining, knees are paining, or something like that. No excuse, but just that today we are trained. Our little children are trained in that way, just to use the high pen. And this is not a good indication at all. Eh? And it's what we call it also the Western pen. So by using that high pen, it is harmful, detrimental for us. And the writings have come from their people. Their people say that all your muscles and everything is not in a position to relieve yourself from. When you sit in a squatting position, then everything is such that it pushes out everything. But in that position, a lot of the waste gets remained. And this waste that remains inside, and that becomes poisonous. And that is all our, then, how many of our illnesses that we have to suffer with. Just because we don't do our toilet properly. So this is also a very, in our homes also. Eh? And at one time, not now, the time is gone now. But at one time, for airports, for the garages on the, what you call it, on the freeways? The ultra cities, etc. MashaAllah, Muslims used to petition them that we are Muslims, we want flat toilets. And they should respond. At the airports, they give flat toilets. At the ultra cities, you'll get a flat toilet. But when we in our own house, we put high pen. There we use the high pen. But we are so good Muslims that we petition, we want flat pens. We are Muslims. We need the flat pen. But in our own homes, we put the high pen and we all get used to it. And we all just use that. So Allah Ta'ala, from there and in the high pen, if we are using it for whether we justified or not. But then it is not so easy to do your istinja properly. Then we have to pay more attention to make sure that our istinja, such of our friends, Allah reward them. They have passed away already, ulama. But they say whenever we had to use a high pen, we should go and make ghusl again. Because we just haven't got itminan on the paki yet after using the high pen. So we have to be careful. And if there's napaki on us, and then here we come and we're reading namaz like big buzurgs also, everything. But with that napaki, and it is not done properly. And from the start, if that is not correct, then we come into our wudu. Wudu also, that also has to be done properly. And that also we should learn. And if we can make our wudu correctly, and according to sunnah, as close as possible as sunnah, we will be only doing ourselves a great, great, great favor. And Muslims use more water for wudu, but if we use it according to the correct way of sunnah, and Allah give us all tawfiq, all this, Allah reward the ulama, for the ulama, for the ulama who are making us conscious about this, that if when we have to be building masjids now, do it with the allowance, that whoever wants to use, like the mud, etc., that you can use it. Otherwise, our wuzu khanas are planned in such a way, ours also, yeah, you can't, it's very difficult to you to make wuzu with the mud. But if it is planned like that, Maulana Yahya Bam in Lanesia, his masjid is planned like that, with a jug. In those days, there wasn't the mud, it wasn't like the thought about also. And he had made that arrangement. So, in any case, yeah, also if we can, all our masjids, we make that and we encourage it. So we will be making so many people wudu, but if we make it with the mud, our consumption of water will still be less than what other people have got. For example, they with the bath, how a lot of water is used. Normally we use a shower, But even in a shower, how much water? And if you come to the bucket system, which is the correct system, then really how little water. And in the bucket system also, if we come to the sunnah, and we can never ever be clean like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And with what a little amount of water, they get, got the complete cleanliness. And we use so much clothing, like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, the Hindu people, they use the dhoti, their clothing. And the women use their sari, dhoti. They use so much of material, but still their body is exposed. Even with the sari, they use so much material, but the body is still exposed. In the same way, we use so much water, but still we haven't achieved what we are supposed to. And if you do it the right way, with the little water, etc., and you achieve it perfectly. So we, Allah, give us tawfiq to go into the sunnah. So that is with regard to that. And of course, the details cannot be exhausted. Then our namaz, Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq, Allah, reward the brothers that about Anwarus Salah. And that was also ajeeb Allah shan. When we started right at the beginning, we never really thought about it also. We're going to have a program. And I just went to the kitab shelf. And Allah made it directly on that. My hands went on that. And how good that other madrasas, they say they want to introduce it as a subject in the madrasa. So that our namazes can become correct. So, and Mi'rajul Mu'mineen also, that is a very, very great kitab also. So, namaz is a thing, Allah give me also tawfiq, all of us, that we make it a maqsad and object in our lives. And we can never reach the end. Wherever we reach, Allah take us. We get at least on the path, we come on track at least. And we start moving along also. And if we can, if two rakats of our namaz comes out right on the day of Qiyamah, we are very, very, very fortunate. Eh? One buzurg says, I fear that my one subhanallah also won't come out right. And really, he fears, but I can say with certainty that the meaning of subhanallah, that what it entails, and the purity of Allah Ta'ala, who can express that? And the opposite of that, who can purify Allah? Nobody. But we express that Allah is pure. Person, when he says subhanallah, na'uzu billah, he's not purifying Allah Ta'ala, but expressing that Allah is pure, and to be completely pure, that we have, that Allah, no shirk with Allah Ta'ala, nothing whatsoever. The subhanallah, what a great, great ibadat it is. So this, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and if we can work on it this month of Ramadan, and especially those of us who have come before Ramadan, who are spending 30 days, who will be spending 10 days in i'tikaf, where our ibadat we will increase, and which we must, and which is very, very fortunate for us. But at the same time, if we could just even make our namaz, even if we could just move one step ahead, and make the namaz a better namaz, or if we can just compare with last year's namaz, that how regular was I with namaz in Ramadan, this year, now my whole life. What was the quality of my namaz, and now what is the quality, every aspect of namaz, how we dress for namaz also, especially if sometimes we have to make namaz at home. Faraz, Allah give us tawfiq, all faraz namaz in the masjid. But sometimes if you got so delayed or something, then look at that namaz, how you make it, and your namaz in the masjid. What is the comparison of the two namazes? So that also is a thing we have to see. So Allah give us tawfiq that if we could make our namazes come in order and regular with our namazes, and they become that namaz, that with that one namaz, you can turn the whole system of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The whole nizam of Allah can change if our namazes come correct. Allah give us all tawfiq and to work in this direction inshallah.